You know Peter St. James and Pat Kelly love to talk, and they want to hear from you. 866-823-1077. That's toll-free 866-823-1077. This is 1077 The Pulse.
Happiness lies in your own hand. It took me much too long to understand how it could be until you shared.
Got a good attitude.
She does.
What year was this? 93?
Yeah, it was well into Madonna's, you know, becoming Madonna.
It was from the LP Bedtime Stories.
So oh, okay.
That was probably 94.
Yeah.
Song with attitude. 7:36 is the time. 1-866-823-1077. When it comes to tick-borne disease in New England, there's one person you got to talk to because she knows more than the rest of us. So thank God, because we know nothing, and unfortunately people will go online, they'll talk to a friend, they'll get misinformation, they spread the misinformation.
Oh, yeah.
And so we figured we'd get the skinny. It is our pleasure to chat this morning about Lyme disease with Dr. Julia Greenspan from Greenhouse Natural Medicine in Amherst. Good morning, Julia. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, no, I appreciate you taking the time because I'm sure you probably get pounded with this stuff from time to time. So we appreciate you imparting because as you and I were talking about Lyme disease, tick-borne illnesses, we hear about it, but then something else comes by and the news media goes to something else and it's forgotten. But the problem's still here.
Yeah, it is very much here. And and actually, with the turn of the season here, it's going to be even more present in our lives as the ticks start to get hungry, knowing that winter is coming. And I'll start to see a lot more tick bite visits here coming to the office. So, it's not been as bad this summer because it's been a lot drier. Mm-hmm. But with the seasonal change, there's going to be, no pun intended, but an uptick.
There you go. Well, hey, we're doing TikTok, so I mean, you know, that's okay. I'm sure some people are saying, well, wait a minute, it was 29 in my house this morning, so that killed him, right?
No, ticks actually can survive underneath snowpack. They can survive at temperatures below freezing. In fact, the year where we had the Arctic blast about 2 years ago, where it was 2 weeks of below, like 20 below, 10 below, I thought sure I would have a very mild, very quiet spring because all the ticks must have died off. And I had one of the busiest springs ever of new tick bites coming in.
Wow.
So they can really tolerate a lot and survive. They're survivors.
Now, there was a press release that came out from the Vermont Fish and Game people about a month ago. And the biologists said that their study showed a 30%, they projected, a 30% decline in ticks. How can they make that call? I was cheering it, but how can they know for sure that there's a 30% decline in ticks?
Well, what you see in 1 year versus another year can be very different because depending on weather patterns, depending on animal, like the animals that actually where the ticks feed off of them and you know, get the diseases from the deer, the mice, squirrels, those populations of animals also will impact how many ticks are born, how many are able to nest and successfully have larvae, and how that grows, plus mast year. So trees can have years where they're more prolific with acorn droppage, which means that also has an impact on the animals and rodents that are feeding off of those and then them being able to survive the winter. Thus, then again, the cycle of feeding and then new ticks being born. So from year to year, after I've been working with tick-borne disease for over a decade. And you'll see cycles yearly. You know, every year there'll be cycles of, I see a relationship with weather and with the trees and with the rodents.
How did you end up saying, I'm going to be a Lyme disease expert? I mean, was that an option for you, or you just said, hey, nobody's doing it, I want to do this? Or, I mean, how did you get there?
Well, I graduated with my doctorate in Portland, Oregon, and I moved here. My first practice was set up in Hollis, New Hampshire, and I had patients that started showing up with multi-organ system issues, heart issues, musculoskeletal, neurological issues, and they were debilitated. And so I would test them for Lyme. I'd send them back to their primary care doctor, say, hey, you have Lyme, go talk to your primary care doctor and get on antibiotics for that. I'm a naturopathic doctor by trade. So at the time, I was not so excited about prescribing antibiotics. It wasn't my gig. Mm-hmm. But when I first started practicing in 2006. And so I send them back. The patient would come back to me and say my doctor wouldn't treat me for Lyme. So it is part of our prescribing rights to be able to prescribe antibiotics. So I did. And in realizing that, watching somebody go from a debilitated state, people who are professionals, people with, you know, viable careers, parents, you know, and being able to prescribe natural medications and antibiotics and get them back to a state where they're fully functioning, have a higher quality of life, that was, you know, it sort of found me. The practice found me. People started showing up that had Lyme disease, because once they hear somebody's treating it, the word gets around pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because it's difficult for patients to find that in this community, even though this is, you know, an epidemic here in this area. So so that's how it sort of found me, I should say. And then I actually found Lyme and Babesia in myself a few years after starting to specialize in it. So I'm also a patient as well.
Wow. As you just said, is anybody besides Dr. Julia Greenspan actually calling it an epidemic? I mean, I'm not hearing that. You say it because you're dealing with it, but I'm not hearing other people putting that moniker on it, which to me says, whoa, we got a problem, kids. We need to deal with it.
Well, there are actually more Lyme literate docs here than you'd think in this area or in the New England area. And I was actually part of a panel of about 10 or 15 docs that went to the state of New Hampshire about 8 years ago to talk with the health board there about changing their criteria, kind of trying to open their eyes about the fact that we've got a problem here. That's why I'm excited about the new task force and some of the things that are changing with that in New Hampshire local government to reevaluate testing and kind of what is going on here. It kind of fell on deaf ears when we initially went, I'm glad to see that that's starting to change now, because it really, that's where things are going to start to change, is how doctors are looking at testing, how they're comparing that to the patient that they're seeing with all the symptoms, that and being able to put the two together and realize that, for me, more than anything else, testing is important, absolutely, but then it's also the patient's story. Here, it doesn't make any sense if somebody wakes up one day with joint pain, headaches, neurological issues, and they were fine prior, and they live in one of the most infected areas in the country for tick-borne disease. It makes the most sense to evaluate that first and to give an antibiotic for a period of time. And then if we don't see improvement in those symptoms, then you go look at other specialties, as rheumatology or neurology, or look at other reasons why somebody might be ill. Those are important things to take into consideration.
What are the typical symptoms, Julia, that people, and again, right now it's, oh, maybe I've got COVID, or gee, maybe I've got the flu. How do you differentiate between them that, oh, wait a minute, geez, this may be Lyme?
Well, and we are kind of in a unique situation right now. I think a lot of people are going to choose who might sustain a bite, wait to see symptoms come up. And a lot of times that doesn't happen right away. And then assume that they're not infected. And then, of course, we have right now a movement of, only going to the doctor or only going to the ER or something like that or urgent care when things are at their worst case scenario. A lot of people are very afraid to go to the doctor right now or to even leave their homes to go grocery shopping, you know, go to the doctor's office. So they're going. It's going to actually be a bigger issue here with Lyme disease and the other tick-borne infections because Lyme isn't the only thing that ticks carry. And so it's important that people understand that yes, go get checked for COVID if there's a suspicion of that. Typically, you're not going to have respiratory issues, cold and flu-like symptoms per se with Lyme disease. You're going to have shortness of breath or feel winded, which also could be a COVID symptom. But you're going to have joint pain, possibly joint swelling. With certain tick-borne infections, you'll get a fever right away, neck pain, head pain, rashes, heart palpitations, changes in vision and hearing, terrible headaches. But again, those things can come on slowly or they can come on right away depending on the infection. So mm-hmm. typically, if you have those symptoms coming up, you know, go in as soon as you can, if you do find a tick bite, go in as soon as you can to have it addressed. And I would hope that the medical professional you're meeting with would, you know, test you both for COVID and for tick-borne infections to try to cast a wide net, to make sure that, you know, they've got a solid diagnosis. Before treating. But those are some of the common symptoms that I see patients
now when you say joint pain, are we talking, I was outside working in the yard, raking, man, I'm sore, or are we talking debilitating pain?
It could be both.
Okay.
There can be situations of people's joints completely swelling up in the hands, the knees, especially when you see kiddos, when you see young children with their knee all of a sudden swelling up. You know, there aren't many reasons for why that would just happen, yet they were playing on the soccer field and they went to go try to grab the ball that went off the field into an area of tall grass. And then a week later, they've got a swollen knee. So it's going to be also what's unique about Lyme disease is that it migrates. So it could start off in one specific joint, especially if there was a tick bite near that area,
mm-hmm.
And then it will get with a localized infection. But over time, you'll start to see a pattern of migrating pain that is very unique to Lyme disease and tick-borne infections, where it'll be the shoulder in the morning and the hip in the afternoon, or over the course of days, it'll change from side to side, left to right side. And it also, you know, it makes it very complicated, for diagnosis sometimes because it can look a lot like an autoimmune disease, like rheumatoid arthritis or juvenile RA. You know, it can look like that. But actually Lyme can be triggering the body to respond in ways that look like an autoimmune disease, or you can have one side by side. You can have them at the same time.
Have you had patients that said, I didn't know I had a tick bite?
Yes, and me included. So I had Lyme and babesiosis. I've never pulled a tick off of my skin in my life.
Wow.
And most of my patients who end up the most debilitated and chronically ill are those that have no memory of pulling a tick out, because then you don't get that trigger to go in to go get care or to go down that
right.
avenue. If you don't see the tick, it's like you don't know where to start from.
Yeah.
And so I would say a large percentage of people, ticks are very stealthy,
mm-hmm.
And they're small. They can be very, very, very small to the point where the naked eye can't see them. And they also numb the skin when they bite so that they can feed and have their time to do that, because it wouldn't really be productive for them if it was like a mosquito where we feel it right away and we would slap them.
Sure.
They take a longer time to feed than a mosquito.
Mm. Is it important that if I see the tick and pull it off, that I save it and put it in a bag and give it to my PCP or somebody?
Yeah, you can try your PCP. There are also organizations that you can send the tick to. Chickreport.com is one of them. They're affiliated with UMass Amherst. And save it. Don't put it in alcohol. Don't put it between tape. You know, try not to put anything on the tick at all on the skin while you're removing it, and just put it into a baggie. You can pay them online. They'll give you like a reference number, and you get a turnaround time of about 3 to 5 days, maybe a little bit more with COVID right now.
Mm.
But they will do a panel. They've got different prices for different panels, and they'll not just look, not only just look at Lyme, but they will look at other tick-borne, common tick-borne infections. There's a lot of information inside the tick. So if we want to talk about testing and accuracy, your best bet is if you get, if you actually, you know, unlucky to get bit by a tick, but lucky enough to find it, you know, it's a really key piece of evidence to have and really important. And I think a lot of people's, you know, instinct is to just pitch it, step on it, you know, flush it down the toilet.
Burn it, right.
Flush
it.
Yeah, get it out of here.
No, that's true. All right. Now, Dr. Greenspan, as you pointed out, people are want to go to the emergency room or the doctor or, you know, whatever. So, I mean, especially, you know, New Hampshire people, you know, real New Hampshire people, not transplants. Sorry, no, nothing personal. But yeah. You know, the old New Englanders, you know, just suck it up, very stoic. And if in fact they do have a bite, and yes, they're suffering through the joint pain and the migrating, blah blah blah, and finally they get to the point where they're going, oh my God, you know, I really should go in. Does the length of time that people are living in denial hurt the chances for recovery, or does it make it harder for you to bring them back to normal?
It does increase the treatment time. So if somebody was to come in, like a bite just happened yesterday or over the weekend, or within the week, typically a treatment time in my office would be about a month of antibiotics. And ideally we would test, and have information from the tick. You can't test the human right away. You got to wait a couple weeks to do that because it takes time for the body to show us. Okay. Whether it's been infected or not, but I'm more of the mind that just about all of them are infected, and I'm just not going to take a chance. So I treat the bite right away. If someone's coming in that's allowed symptoms, you know, just kind of, and I did the same thing. So it's I just explained everything away for quite a while,
yeah.
And not knowing, thinking I'm a new mom, I've got a new practice. Of course I'm tired. Of course I'm achy. I'm, you know, I'm this, I'm that.
Right.
So when people do come in and I take their case, we run blood work, and, you know, even if blood work comes back negative, but if somebody has all of the characteristics, you know, they've got exposure risk, we look into other variables. So with lab testing, I'm also looking at autoimmune diseases. I'm looking at other causes, giving them referrals to go get checked out to make sure it isn't other issues going on. You know, treating for Lyme or suspecting that is the simplest thing. And it can take several months to almost a year for some people or more in order to recover. And that's really the hardest part for people to handle is the ups and downs with treating, because things can get worse before they can get better if it's allowed to sit around too long. And again, for people who don't know that they've been bit, it's no fault. You know, there's no fault
sure.
here. It just, you know, people are just doing the best they can. But they... It can be a marathon to recover, and it can be a very prolonged process, but I'm very hopeful with patients that, and I've seen people come back from situations where even I would look at and go, boy, oh boy, I don't know how this person's going to have a good quality of life. And I've seen people come back from really, you know, debilitated states. And so I think at this point, with as many cases I've treated, I think anything's possible.
Once you have addressed it, hopefully successfully, and it's gone, can it come back?
Yes. So I don't know that it's ever really gone. I tell patients like, yeah, okay, because I can't go in and make sure all the bacteria is gone. There's just no way to quantify that.
Right.
But my goal is like, okay, we want to get you so you don't need to be treated, and you're just living life, and you're fine, and you can do it, and nothing's getting in your way of living your life. But people can, you know, you can go along and maybe still have a little bit of infection left. And then let's say your partner dies. Let's say you lose your job. Let's
right.
say, you know, if a big stressor comes along like COVID, you know, mm-hmm. that really stresses you out. I had a lot of patients relapse because of the stress of going through COVID and how mm-hmm. that impacted their families and how they felt about themselves and felt about the world. So stress can impact the immune system. I think we all know that. And then, of course, you can get better, but it isn't like chicken pox, and you can go out there and you can start living your life and getting outdoors, and you can get bit again.
Oh, wow.
And if you get bit again, you know, you're kind of starting from square one again. It's
mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's also a very real thing.
There was a house committee work session last week, Fish and Game Marine Resources, on House Bill 1433, which is looking to establish a commission to develop a statewide strategy on tick management. You on board with that?
Absolutely. Okay. All hands on deck. We need to start having some honest conversations and start communicating about what is going on and start figuring out how we can get more funding in the state for education, prevention, and also, you know, again, having dialogue between professions, because there's a lot of different opinions from all specialties about Lyme. We all agree that Lyme exists. We all agree that Bartonella and Babesia and anaplasmosis and Rocky Mountain spotted fever, that these, obviously, these are issues. They're infections. They impact the body. But there's differing opinions about treatment time and about, you know, testing and about how it presents in the human body. And, you know, I'm somebody who feels like longer treatment for certain individuals can be very beneficial. And not everybody shares that opinion. And so I think starting to have a dialogue about that and get and have doctors who are seeing this more and treating this more and have more of a caseload and a history to be able to share with other practitioners about what we're experiencing and what we're seeing as far as patients improving, and then having that fall on open ears is going to be so helpful for everybody living here, the patients. I mean, it's really for the benefit of the patients and for the safety of patients, myself, my children,
sure.
You know, my life, your lives. Like, mm-hmm. It's a reality. Nobody's escaping this. I mean, even if you're someone who doesn't believe in doctors or other professionals or individuals that don't think this is an issue, it doesn't mean that you're not somebody who's susceptible to it.
Greenhouse Natural Medicine in Amherst, are you still taking new patients?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
so absolutely. If people have questions, they can call you. Or you can pick up the book, Rising Above Lyme Disease. We'll talk more about that. Can we get you back in chat? Because obviously there's a lot of ground to cover.
Yes, I'd love that.
Excellent. We will chat with you again, Dr. Julia Greenspan. Greenhouse Natural Medicine in Amherst, 249-5771 is the number. Julia, thank you very much, and I look forward to chatting again.
Yeah, have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. 757.
Beautiful.
Man,
we know a little bit more about something we don't know everything about yet.
The only thing worse would be having Lyme disease living in Lyme, New Hampshire. I was just thinking.
It's like a double Lyme, Ricky.
It really is. That's ugly. We'll be back.